We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Hello, this is...
We almost had Rick Spain's commercial right there. Just jumped right into it. Good morning, this is the Hour of Power. I'm Lisa Pyatt. I'm almost feeling like a guest host this morning because I haven't been here for a little while. Did I turn that up? Yes, are you getting it? I don't know. Are we going? Okay, should be. Looks like, yeah. Looks like, well, I don't know. What's the deal? Oh, well, maybe because my microphone's not on.
This is a live program, folks.
Okay, we're going to start over. Good morning. This is the Hour of Power. I'm Neva Pyatt, and you can tell I'm just a guest host this morning. Didn't have my microphone turned on. Some things never change, I'm telling you, but God is good, and He is faithful, and He loves us in spite of the silly things that we do. Monica's over there running the iPad this morning, and our guest is Rick Spain from Spain's Construction, Weatherford, Oklahoma. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. I just wanted to tell everybody out there that the church has left the building. Praise God. It's the God's woke us up, and hopefully we're doing our part.
Amen. Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can post it right on our Facebook page, or you can send it to our phone, 580-485-0837. So several ways that you can get those prayer requests to us. We record in two parts, and we'll have it posted over on our website after the program's over. That's at therockchristianmusic.com. Of course, with Facebook, it goes on there immediately. And our Facebook sponsor today is Spain's Construction Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Been with us a long time, been one of our sponsors for many, many years, and faithful to come in at least once a month for many, many years. So,
if I don't forget.
You noticed I did text you earlier in the day yesterday.
You're awesome, Neva.
Sometimes I forget until 10 o'clock at night to text, and then it's too late. So anyway, it's always good to have you. I think maybe I've covered everything. Oh, today we're going to have Truth Broadcast after the program's over with Pastor Dwight. And it'll be just a couple of minutes after the Hour of Power ends for us to get the iPad reset to do that. So hang in there. We'll go to some music in between the Hour of Power and the Truth Broadcast. Now I think I've covered everything. Will you pray to start us out?
I will, but you know, I did want to say something. I wished I was as smooth of a talker as Neva Pye.
Oh,
you know what? It's just like, just rolls out of her mouth.
Well, I would have to say anything that I am or ever hope to be certainly would be from the Lord Almighty. Praise God for that. But
yeah.
Thank you for the nice words.
I want to be like Neva Pye when I grow up.
Come on, y'all.
All right, we have fun in here, you guys. Yeah. We're going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord God, that your words always the same. It never fails. It always performs. And you did it for our benefit. Thank you. Father, we lift up the program, lift up the listeners, Lord God. I thank you that there's going to be a word that goes forth. I pray that it touches the hearts and minds of your people to change our minds, to change our hearts, change our actions, to change our life. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. So what is your topic today?
Yeah, you know, I like to put a title on stuff, and my title for today is The Steps of Success.
The Steps of Success. Okay,
the Steps of Success, and I don't even have my Bible opened up, so let me get over there. I should have this one. It is in my heart, but pulling it up into my head sometimes is a challenge. So our scripture text is Proverbs 16:9. And it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. That is a good word. And if you want to just stay in Proverbs 16, we're going to close out in Proverbs 16 this morning. We have our company meeting every morning, every Monday morning, and that's at the start of the week. So it's interesting because sometimes I'm dragging, sometimes the guys are dragging, but we always sit down, we have our company meeting. And this Monday morning, I went over three thoughts I want to share with you today. The first thought that we went over is, if there is a wrong way, there has to be a right way. You know, and I think in life, what I mean by this is we typically focus on the wrong way. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're living our life, we're going to work, you know, doing our thing, raising our kids, all this kind of stuff. And then we've got these external influences that affect our life. It's like the little gremlin that goes in there and it messes up your vehicle. And then you put the vehicle in the shop, and then the people that are supposed to be working on your vehicle, they go to Colorado. And so, yeah, it's that's a made-up story, but it's got a lot of relevance to some of us. Yeah. And so, you know, then we look at the wrong way, you know. And so, obviously, we're thinking, well, if they do this and they do that and so on and so forth, you know, it's I'm reminded that I went over to look at some work that we had done for a couple, and it's been, I don't know, maybe a year ago. I don't remember it. You know, it just all runs together. But the man of the house is dealing with stage 4 cancer. And so I'm going in there and I'm looking at the work, and the wife comes out and obviously it's a very emotional situation when your husband's stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And so she just broke down, you know, and so we're out there outside, he's in the house, and so I just wrap my arms around her and, you know, I just start comforting her. And, you know, what can you say? What can you say in this situation? And so I encouraged her with the words, and I said, the main thing, don't blame God for this, because if it was up to God, it never would have happened. You know, and so, no, she's not blaming God. So we go in the house, and he's in there watching TV, so I plop down beside him, and we start talking, and you know, I start telling him about, you know, things the Lord's doing. And he asked me the question. He says, have you ever been on a mission trip? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I've been on 15. I said, I've been all over the world. Africa, Asia, South America, Europe. You know, I haven't been to Australia. That's one of the continents I haven't gone to, and obviously I'm not real enthused about going to Antarctica, so, you know, if the Lord says, I will. But anyway, I start telling him about mission trip stories, you know, and this things that have happened, and I've got lots of mission trip stories, you know, but I just learned mainly about people. I learned about, you know, and I just tell him all this stuff, you know, we got into talking about the Lord and this and that. You know, it never once came up, the conversation of cancer. Not once. You know, and when I left, you know, he's really doing well for the position of life he is physically. How he is mentally and emotionally, he seems to be doing really well. You know, and so I sat down and I prayed with both of them, and prayed according to what the Lord puts in me, and that's what I pray. So I'm getting up. Let me think. I can't remember. I lost my notebook, my work notebook. Oh, my gosh. That's so important. It's almost as bad as your car breaking down and then your mechanic going to Colorado. Almost. Yeah. Monica, I'm glad you're laughing. So, anyway, you know, I have to go back over there, and the Lord dropped something on the inside of me. And this guy's name's Tony. He says, I want you to tell Tony to start focusing on things that make him laugh, that bring humor into his life. And he told me that morning. So this was next day. He told me that morning. And so when I drove over, because I thought maybe I left my notebook there. And when I drove over there, I was about to get out of the pickup. He reminded me, you know how easily we forget. So he reminded me. And so I go in, we're looking all over for this notebook. And just as, you know, it's not there. We can't find my notebook. Pray for my notebook. I'll pray for your car. Or, no, I'm not. That's not a real story. But, yes. So I'm about to walk out the door. I'm getting ready. And I said, you know, Tony, the Lord told me to tell you something. And he turns, you know, and he's like, man, I want to hear this, you know. And so I told him, I said, focus on what brings humor into your life, you know. And so we tie this in. If there's a wrong way, there's got to be a right way. You know, all the time we're working on trying to fix problems, fix this, fix that. You know, we get so caught up in making wrong things right that we forget that there is a right way. And if we don't understand that right way is something that God put in us. You know, you see that in Romans 1. There's two ways that God innately put in us recognition of him. And one is those things that are around us, nature, how the world operates. Not necessarily people. I'm talking, you know, the weather, all this stuff. This shows, you know, Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth his handiwork. And so that's one way God reveals himself. Well, the other way is more applicable to what we're talking about. He put it in us innately to know that there's something bigger than us. Mm-hmm. You know, you have got to indoctrinate and talk yourself out of this truth. It goes on to say, therefore, there is no one without excuse. We all know he's there. So, you know, if there is a wrong way, there has to be a right way. And so instead of acknowledging or recognizing the wrong way, start looking at the right way. What is right? The second thing we talked about is every step is important. It is, you know, a man devises his own way, but the Lord directs his steps. You know, every step we take in life is important. You know, I know we can all remember way back there years ago when we were still in diapers and mom and dad were enticing us to take that first step. Obviously, I'm being facetious here, but if you do remember that, you got a really good memory. But anyway, you know, it's that how important that first step was. When we realized we could take a step, now I'm just painting a picture here. Obviously, I can't remember that. But when you realize you can take that first step, then you're more confident to take the second step. And then when you learn there's a coffee table there, that'll help you, and you can step a lot faster. And then you notice stuff on the coffee table, and it's like, wow, I'm going to grab that and stick it in my mouth. You know? So, but, you know, it's every step is important, and this is something I want you to recognize, because sometimes we're going through life and we're going through steps and it just seems like nothing's happening. You know, it's just, all right, I'm taking this step, so come on, where's the magic? You know, and so what happens is we get into a rut, a habitual way of living. You know, so we go to work, we get home, eat our dinner, go to bed. What do? You go to sleep, and you get up, and then you go to work. Okay, and so it just becomes a repetition in our life, and we don't recognize the steps we're taking. And so every step you take is important. But, you know, I closed out, and the third thought was, what is the most important step? Now, I know that there's a lot of people thinking right now, and maybe even some people saying, well, this is the most important step. Obviously, we've got our opinions about what is the most important step, but I am going to tell you what is the most important step. So the most important step is not your last step. The most important step is your next step. And if you don't recognize that, then you're going to get lost in this habitual way of living, and life becomes mundane, and the importance of the steps you're taking have no significance. And so when we start recognizing, you know, let me just bring this out. We did a job up in Watonga, and this is on a manufactured home. And what they wanted a porch, the front, at the front to the length of the porch. We were going to do siding on it, put a new roof on it, all this kind of good stuff. And so this is going to take a while. And so it took me a while to get there, and I apologize if you're calling me and I'm not getting back with you. We are super busy. But they waited, I mean, I don't know, 8-10 months. They waited on us. So we got over there. We start putting everything together. And as you're going through it, you know, first of all, you're tearing stuff up. You know, and you're just tearing stuff up, and it looks terrible. But then we start doing the framework, and you start seeing something. It's still not pretty. It doesn't look that good. And so then we start putting stuff together, and it's all in a process, step by step by step. When we got finished with this porch, you know, we did it all the fronts in cedar railing, and you know, it's just, we've got a nice deck on it, and it just goes forever. And it is beautiful. I mean, it looks so good that I'm having people, this is out in the country, people driving by this house out in the country, they're calling us. Could you come over and give us an estimate? And usually that's where I get a lot of work. People just see and they say, man, that is really nice. You know, but we got to recognize, took a lot of steps to get to that point. But we can't leave our satisfaction there. We can be satisfied, but we can't leave it there. And so what we've got to do is we got to go tear some more stuff up and put it back together. You know, and so the most important job I have to do is not my last, but it's my next one. The one I'm working on now. And so if you don't get that inside of you, then you lose your motivation. You lose your reason for being here, because in reality, you have masterpieces on inside of you. And if you don't recognize that, well, you're going to lose it in the last thing you did, or you're going to lose it in, you know, people running off on you, or people doing this or doing that, you know, and so you lose significance. So I want to go over some other thoughts with you here that I wrote down. You know, the first thought I got here is God an equal opportunity employer. That's a good one. That's just a good thought. There's God an equal opportunity employer. You know, we live in a politically correct world now. It's so interesting to me. You know, it reminds me of that story that I was getting some work done on one of my tires went flat. So I'm at the tire store, they're fixing my tire, you know, and I walk out there to the shop to see, you know, what's wrong with this tire. Well, I get stopped by the owner. He says, "You can't go in there. You can't go in that shop." I say, "Well, okay, all right." So I walk in the lobby area, and there's the guy behind the desk, and he says, "You're just a rebel at heart, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I guess I am. If somebody tells me I can't talk about Jesus, I'm going to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus." You know, so I may not be as politically correct as what I need to be, but I know that if I have something to say, it's going to be said. You know, and I'm going to respect people around me, but this political correctness is for the birds. I'm just going to say it. You know, it's illogical. It doesn't make sense. You know, we're pandering to things that God doesn't approve of. And so if God is an equal opportunity employer, does it mean he's politically correct? I'll let you answer that question. You know, and so God is an equal opportunity employer. As a matter of fact, he does not show favoritism. You know why? Everybody is his favorite. Everyone. And so what I'm trying to tell you is you got stuff on the inside of you that God put in you to be exposed to your world. So listen to this thought. And I've got several points here. We may get through this thought, and even we may not, okay, before our break, but I'm going to try to get through this. There's a lot of thoughts in the first thought. Change is not easy, but it's necessary for sustainability and success. So what are we talking about this morning? What's the title?
Done forgot. Steps of success.
The steps of success. I knew it was in there. The steps of success. And so change is one of those things that we don't welcome. You know, if we wrote the book of our life and we go back and we read what we've gone through, can you tell me, is there some parts in there that you would take out?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes. You know, I think about some things that that happened to me, and some things that I caused to happen, and I would rearrange those things, and I might leave them in there, but we'd change a few things, manipulate this, manipulate that. But if we don't recognize that where we are today is because of those things that we want to take out from yesterday, that's what made us who we are. So the product that is produced on the outside is completely dependent on the quality of the inside. That is so important. The product that's produced on the outside is fully dependent on the quality of the inside. And so it's reflective in everything that you do. What's our scripture text? Man plans his own way, the Lord directs his steps. Okay? And so you think about that and you look at some steps that some people are taking and you think, well, how can God be directing their steps? They're doing this and this and this, or how can he be directing my step and I fall in this hole? You know, how does that work? We got to recognize it's not what's on the outside that really matters. It's what's on the inside. And so we want, you know, it's, and we all do this. You know, I'm in the boat. We all want to make the outside look pretty. I'm looking in the mirror before I came in here, washing my hands, looking in the mirror, and I noticed I got one curl sticking that way and another curl sticking this way. And so get a little water and try to, you know, it's a good thing about having curly hair. You guys can't notice it, but I do, you know. And so I want to make the outside look good. But you know what God wants? He wants to make the inside look good. And that's where the quality, that's where the quality is. So the outside factors are the challenge. We got to realize that. You know, they are, as a matter of fact, if we didn't have the outside challenges, we would not attempt to make our inside better. Doggone, that's just human nature. You know, we want to be better. We want to do things better. The number one thing is we want people to like us, right? We want that. We want people to like us, and so we work on that on the inside. But it's not until these changes on the outside that come and they start telling us we got to do this and we got to do that. You know, I got to get my brother to give me a ride to work this morning. That sucks. I want my own vehicle. Yeah, I know it's okay. Yeah, but it's still one of those things. It's irritating. The little irritants on the outside. So the outside factors are the challenge. If you're not willing to adapt to overcome, you will be overcome. And so this is a continual thing with us, is adaptation. You know, adapting to, not adapting to our surroundings, but adapting our surroundings to who we are on the inside. And so that what I'm telling you is we're not bowing to the outside circumstances, but we are not allowing the outside circumstances to commandeer who we are either. And so that's part of the adaptation. And I'm telling you, there's sometimes where that is a great challenge. And generally, it's not the circumstances that challenge us. It's the people. Mm-hmm. Neva knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do everything right. You got all your ducks in a row. Everything's buttoned up. And somebody comes in and tells you what a terrible job you're doing. Really? Okay. That is, so what do you want to do? Immediately, Monica, what do you want to do when somebody tells you that? You want to change what you're doing, right? We're wanting to change the outside because we want that person to like us. I'm going to tell you something. There's some people you cannot make happy. I know this. I know it. I try. I've learned how to read people, and usually I filter that type of person out. I don't need that challenge. I've already had that challenge. Don't need it. Sometimes the filter doesn't work. And you still run into people you can't make them happy. I don't care what kind of a job you do. They're going to complain about it.
Complain if they's hung with a new rope.
Exactly. And so, you know, and so what do you do then? What do you do if you're not willing to adapt to overcome? So you find yourself in this difficult situation, difficult place, and the first thing you want to do is go run and hide. I don't even want to face this. You know, I'm doing the best I can, and they're telling me I'm terrible. You know, how do you adapt and overcome that? You pull from what's on the inside of you. And you don't focus on what this person is saying. Because in reality, the attack may seem to be coming from a person, but the real attack is coming from what is motivating that person, the spirit behind it. And when you recognize that spirit, you can separate that person from the spirit that is pushing them. Because in reality, the problem is not in what you're doing. If you're doing the right thing, it's not in what you're doing. The problem is in recognizing what is pushing this person. And when you can separate that, then you can rise up with what God has put in you, and you can deal with the unseen, and then you can attempt to help that which is seen. And so that's so. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, I know I dig deep, guys. I do. You know, and somebody has to do it because so much what we, and this side thought, so much of what we are allowing in life is on a shallow surface. You know, we're not digging down. We're not finding out the reasons why. We're not looking at the sources. You know, and this is something the Lord's taught me. You know, not to pin the fault on the person, but on what is moving that person. Because generally, it's not the outburst of anger that is evident in the now that is really important to recognize. What is it that caused that person to have that outburst of anger? If we can see that, because if we don't, what are we going to do? Immediately, we're going to react, and we'll have our own outburst of anger. You know, because we carry around a lot of stuff on the inside of us. All of us do. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, we carry it. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. And then all of a sudden you're in a public situation, and it was the camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back. It falls, and what happens to you? You lose it. I had that happen to me right in the middle of Ace Hardware. I mean, and I just, you know, I just lost it for about 2 minutes, and I was getting on to the cashier and one of the managers. I'm getting on to him, and then come back to my senses. And so I had to apologize and apologize and apologize, because in reality it wasn't that situation that caused that outburst. It was what was in me before I even went in there. And so we got to recognize that. And that is part of that adapting to overcome. Adapting to the situation. Not putting yourself under it, but recognizing it. So what do? Use your energy to develop the inside. If you don't see the ability to be greater than what is around you, you have already lost the battle. Mm-hmm. There are times when we are challenged and we think, I've never been in this situation before. I don't know if I can handle it. You know, and so we go in our little corner and we sulk and pray to God, God, remove this thing out of my life. Fix it for me. Because I got stuff to do, Lord, and I can't, you know, I've never done this. I don't want to do it. Fix it. Monica, quit laughing. It is. No. Yeah. I mean, really. Come on. Come on, folks, this is what we do. And so what you know, what I'm telling you is you've got something on the inside of you that is not only able to meet the challenge, it's able to overcome the challenge. You know, because the overcomer lives on the inside of you.
That's right.
I'm gonna stop right there. We're halfway through this thought, okay. Neva.